Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast, a place that is committed to educate, motivate, and inform the Black listener about ways they can live their best lives now using the skills and potential that already lies within, discussing topics relevant to the unapologetically woke Black population. Do you know who you really are? Let's go. Warning, the information you are about to hear may be offensive to certain listeners. Unfiltered truth on the way. If the truth offends you, I suggest you stop listening now. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast. I am your host, Richard Hawks, although it doesn't sound like it, but it's me. Today's episode that we're going to be going through is going to be not as long as some of the other episodes, but we're going to get straight to the point. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about rocking chair legislation. Now, what is rocking chair legislation? Rocking chair legislation is essentially legislation that's done and enacted and put into law or proposed to be laws just for the sake of saying that they're doing something, and it's not something to actually address a real problem. It's just something that's done to show movement and motion and to show that they're making a quote-unquote attempt at solving a problem that they really don't have any real solution for. But they can't just come out and say, we really don't have a real solution for this. They have to just kind of do the throw the spaghetti up against the wall type scenario and see what sticks. And in the midst of it all, I call it rocking chair because although a rocking chair has lots of motion, it doesn't actually move from the spot that it's in. It's in one particular spot and it doesn't move. So on that note, what are we talking about and why am I giving you a definition to a word and a term that nobody is talking about? Well, we're currently talking about we are going into 2020. We're in December of 2019 right now, and we're going into an election year. Now, I'm here in Virginia right now at this particular, at the recording of this podcast. So in Virginia, it was considered a Republican state, and the gun laws were one way. Then the Democrats have come into power here, and now Virginia is back being a blue state again. So since Virginia is now a blue state again, the Democrats have taken and wasted no time in proposing and putting on the bill to go in for these new laws, to put bills in place for these new laws for gun bans, for it pretty much, this is how I'm a summarize it in my unpolitical way, right? Because I'm not going to sit here and say that that I'm some deep political strategist or that I have some really deep and in-depth understanding of how, you know, all of the legislative branches and all of these other things are just working and doing what they do. But from speaking as a everyday citizen, speaking as a law-abiding citizen, speaking as a Second Amendment advocate who believes that we should have the right to bear arms legally and that we should be able to possess our arms legally and defend our families and protect ourselves if and when any threats come to harm our friends or family. I believe that we should be able to legally do that. When they start to talk about this assault weapon thing, there's a lot of people that'll go out here and say that, oh, well, assault rifles are bad because it's a weapon of war, this, that, and the third. And, you know, but the fact of the matter is, law-abiding citizens, and this is what I want to kind of talk about here and make sure that we preface this, law-abiding citizens that have normal law-abiding citizens. And when I say normal, I'm talking about law-abiding citizens that they just want to shoot their guns because it's fun. They want to hunt. They want to go to the shooting range. They have lots of property in the country, and they like to go out on their property and hunt and shoot, or have their own, or build makeshift targets and different things and shoot and just have a good time and shoot. If you've never been to the gun range and fired a weapon, I encourage you to try to do it before they go through and really go crazy with this stuff and really just make it even more difficult for us to do anything. Now, and here's my thought with it, and this is why I say all of that. What they've put into place right now, and you can go to the Virginia legislators' website, and you can actually go through and read these bills specifically. As you can hear, kind of hoarse right now, and you know, I don't know if my voice will stand up at that long for us to go and read through all of the bills and go through it line by line and for me to really go through and break out and bust these things up that they're really talking about. But let's give an overview here and just put this all in perspective for those of us common folks, right? And that's us regular normal folks, because the point of this podcast is to motivate, educate, and inspire from the Black perspective. So with those of us that are Black and that are law-abiding citizens and that may own high-capacity magazines or may own assault rifles, here's a very intriguing fact that will come to the, that, you know, that should be taken note of. And I'm reading this. This is a quote from the Washington Post. And yes, I know the Washington Post is not a Black publication. But what they say right here is definitely applies. Now, and we'll kind of unpack this statement a little bit. And I quote from the Washington Post, from their article they just wrote on December the 4th. Okay. All right. And here's what they're saying here. Gun control activists are claiming that the only gun confiscation being considered in Virginia would occur under quote-unquote red flag laws. But Senate Bill 16, pre-filed for the 2020 session of the Virginia General Assembly, first broadly defines and then bans assault firearms. Let me stop right there for a second. Here's what we're talking about right here. Excuse me. Now, here's what we're talking about in this particular situation right here. It broadly defines assault firearms. Now, if you go through and read even the preview of the legislation, right? It defines, and matter of fact, while we're standing here and talking about it, let me actually go over to the Virginia legislators' website and actually read you the preview word for word so that you can hear for yourself. Now, this bill is for the 2020 session, just like we're talking about, right? And we're going into the part where they broadly define. Let's go to the broadly defining part, right? Now, this is the SB 16, and you can look this up. This is on LIS sb16.virginia.gov. And you can pull this up in SB16, that's Sam Bravo 16. Assault firearms and certain firearm magazines, prohibiting sale, transport, etc. penalties. All right. Now, here's what the summary says. And let's just go through and read this here so that y'all can, and you can catch this as well. Now, listen to this. Summary as introduced. Prohibiting sale, transport, etc. of assault firearms and certain firearm magazines, penalties. Expands the definition of assault firearm and prohibits any person from importing, selling, transferring, manufacturing, purchasing, possessing, or transporting an assault firearm. A violation is a Class 6 felony. Let's try that one on for size for a little while. All right, it continues. The bill prohibits a dealer from selling, renting, trading, or transferring from his inventory an assault firearm to any person. The bill also prohibits a person from carrying a shotgun with a magazine that will hold more than 7 rounds of the longest ammunition for which it is chambered in a public place. Under existing law, this prohibition applies only in certain localities. And let's try this one on for size. The bill makes it a Class 1 misdemeanor to import, sell, barter, or transfer any firearm magazine designed to hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Now, if we go down a little bit further and we really dug into it, and obviously you can hear that my voice is struggling here, so we're not going to go into that part. But if you go down into the details of the SB 16 and you look at how it defines a assault weapon, it pretty much defines it as any semi-automatic rifle. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but any semi-automatic rifle. It characterizes any semi-automatic rifle and kind of leaves it out there hanging. And of course, you know, they got their own little loose terms and all of that going around. But let's just keep it real. The way it's written right now, and the way it can be interpreted right now, if you have a Ruger, if you got a Ruger long rifle, right? The 10/22, I believe is the one that it is. If you got a 10/22 semi-automatic Ruger long rifle. Now, for those of us in the gun community, we know that that's like a squirrel hunting type of thing. A 22 bullet is extremely short and very, very small. I don't think anyone, if they actually saw a semi-automatic long rifle that shot 22 rounds, would consider that to be an assault weapon. You know, when people think of assault weapons, they think of what they're thinking of AR-15s, which actually stands for Armalite. But I digress. But when you're saying assault rifles, they're thinking about those 223 rounds or those 556 rounds. These things are long, these long, intimidating rounds of ammunition. And, you know, when you're talking about assault weapons, you know, you're talking about something that's shooting high. You're talking about things that are designed to kill humans, right? But if we're going to define an assault weapon as an assault weapon, let's at least make sure that we're defining the right weapons that are assault weapons to be assault weapons, and not leaving it so broad out there to the sense of you don't even know. And then they get into the part, once again, paraphrasing here, magazines more than 10 rounds. Magazines more than 10 rounds. That in itself gets into be a whole nother thing as well. And there's a bunch of ways that you can go through and talk about that as far as with having only 10 rounds in a magazine. And there's tons of different channels and gun commentators that have spoken about that part in itself. But here's it's just really, really, really insane. And getting back to the Washington Post here statement and what they were saying. Now, here's the thing that's also troubling as well. Unlike other states with assault weapons bans, Virginia's ban would have no options for grandfathering or buybacks of the newly banned firearms. Owners would become felons overnight unless they turned in their guns. Now, here's the problem that I have with that. So they're saying, so the law, if this actually runs its course, if this runs its course, and let's say, hypothetically speaking, you're a law-abiding citizen that purchased an AR-15 when it was legal to do so, and you did it legally, and you have all of the necessary paperwork to verify and prove such. If this goes into effect and said person doesn't turn in their AR-15 or whatever they may or may not consider to be an assault weapon, automatically they're a felon. Now, as from the black perspective, typically, we usually don't fall on the optimistic side of the law when we're being perceived. How hard would it be for someone on the other side, for some officer, to look at your Ruger 22 long rifle that shoots 22s, with little teeny weeny 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 small bullet? How hard would it be for some law official who just wanted to be a pain for whatever reason, or wanted to just be an ass for whatever reason, decided to say, well, you know what? That is a semi-automatic weapon. That is a semi-automatic rifle. And according to the law that was just newly passed, if it passes, that is an assault weapon, and now you are a felon. And that could be pretty troubling. Now, and of course, I know there's somebody out there to say, well, hey, Richard, that's what lawyers are for. This is true. But let's be for real. How many people that can afford high quality legal representation to be able to go through and fight against your city or your state prosecutors? I mean, it's an unfortunate, sad fact. It is better to be rich and guilty than broke and innocent. Sad, but true. So, this really is a bothersome type of thing that comes into play right now, because the way I view it, and the way I view it, and this is one, once again, just one humble person's opinion, and obviously I'm not the only one who thinks this way. This particular type of legislation doesn't do anything to really protect anybody. All this does is put restraints on legal gun owners who are trying to simply abide by the law, enjoy the pleasure that comes with owning a firearm responsibly and operating a firearm responsibly and shooting in the necessary safe ways and places that you can and, you know, and will do that. This puts a restraint on the legal gun owner, because let's keep it real. If something comes up and someone is trying to cause serious bodily harm to your family, the police that show up, they show up after the crime is already over with. They show up after the person has already finished violating you or doing whatever they've done to you. They show up after the fact. They show up, and they don't always show up. I mean, of course, hey, let's give them their little props. Sometimes they actually show up, you know, when they're supposed to and do what they're supposed to. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, we got some of those. But in most cases, by the time the cops show up, you have already been assaulted. You have already been shot. You've already been, you know, whatever's happened to you has already happened to you. We have to be able to defend and protect ourselves. And if we can't defend and protect ourselves from the criminal element who doesn't have any restraints at all, then all we're doing, all legislation like this does, is just open up and put normal, regular, law-abiding citizens into a compromised position. Because here's the thing. Think about this. If you got a person, for whatever reason, that is mentally gone and is mentally snapped or is mentally in whatever the person is, right? If in that this individual's mind, they have made up in their mind that they are going to go out and commit a mass killing of some sort, the fact that they can only get 10 rounds in the store is not going to stop them from going on the street and getting whatever magazines they need. Here is the point. A person that's mentally deranged, that's already made up in their mind that they're going to commit a mass shooting, they're not going to be limited by the laws that are or may not be in place. They're just not. They're going to go by whatever means necessary and get whatever they feel like they need to accomplish whatever sick goal that they may be trying to achieve. And with over 300 million guns in America right now, with over 300 guns in America, no matter what they do, they are not going to get them all. All they're going to do by going through and doing what they're doing right now with all of these, with this rocking chair legislation, yeah, I'm sure because the state is blue and, you know, and we just had a mass shooting not too long ago, they're going to come up and say, well, this is the best thing to do, and they'll probably be able to get this passed and put into law. But this is not going to solve the problem, because the person that's sick on their job and they want to go through and kill some people, they're still going to go through and get the weapon that they want, that they desire to kill people. So what are they really doing about properly getting people the mental help that they need? There is the real question. People are mentally, this is a very strange time where people with mental issues are really going over the deep end right now. So here's the question. For all of these people that are mental and are having these mental issues, what's going on to help them so that they don't get to the point to where they want to shoot and kill somebody or kill a bunch of people? What is being done about the mental aspect? I understand politicians, they're trying to just do, they are in the best interest of themselves and their party. I really don't think a lot of them have the best interest of the people at large, outside of their own little circle. But, you know, that's them. But the question here is, what does this legislation do to actually address the issue of the insane person that's mentally challenged, that's having a mental breakdown, that sees themselves having a mental breakdown before they're having a mental breakdown? Where is the help for that person? Where are the laws that are in place or where are the options or things in place to help the mentally deranged person actually get some type of help so that they don't get to the point of being the one that shoots up everybody. Now, granted, there's not going to be, everybody's not going to be able to, everybody's not going to be saved, and nothing is totally, totally perfect. However, what they're doing with this one is definitely, in my personal opinion, very highly ineffective. And even as of the recording of this podcast, in the midst of all of the myriad of things going on from an audio quality standpoint, there's a lot of people that have a lot of problems with this and with what's going on. There's even talks about sanctuary counties and cities and all of that type of stuff, where some of the counties in Virginia are talking about they're not going to comply. So we're going to see how this all pans out. But as I close this one out before my voice just totally goes away and you won't be able to hear me at all, this does not go through to solve the problem. This is typical politicians just doing something. They have to do something. So that they can say that they did something, they're going to go through and, as usual, do things ass backwards and just for the sake of doing something. So, okay, you're doing, okay, Democrats, you're doing something. I have no confidence that it's going to do anything other than penalize and make it harder for law-abiding Second Amendment citizens to be able to just go out and do what they normally do, which is to responsibly enjoy firearm ownership. Check me out on the next episode. We are going to try to clean this audio up so that it doesn't sound the way it sounds right about now. So, in the meantime, keep on listening. We are now on iHeartRadio. Check me out on iHeartRadio. Like, subscribe. Be sure to give me that 5-star rating. The purpose of this podcast is to motivate, educate, and inspire from the Black perspective. I am your host, Richard Hawks, the voiceover artist. Be sure to check out my channels on YouTube. Check me out on The Reality of Voice Acting on YouTube. And check me out also right here on YouTube for Too Rich to Miss. Got some more wonderful things coming in 2020. We will catch you on the next one.